And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
All right, we are back with Dr. Judy Wood, drjudywood.com, WT/WTC. We're down to, 155 or so? No, more than that.
Well, figure 159.
159, here we go.
And that figure 159 is one of John's samples, John Hutchison's samples, a curved solid copper beam. It's about 2 or 3 inches in diameter. And on the right, figure 160, is from the WTC, a curved beam. I think we've seen that horseshoe-shaped beam. It's not crackled. It doesn't look gripped. It doesn't...
Yeah, you would think if it would have been bent by simple, like, weight bending it, there'd be a little more distress.
There'd be a crease in it.
Yeah.
And figure 163 is particularly worth noting. That was in that gash of Banker's Trust. And you see it sticking out in the middle. There's a close-up of that beam right below it. It has Swiss cheese holes in it, and it's crinkled up. That's not from loading. And it was stated that there's absolutely no fire in the Banker's Trust. That was in the FEMA report. So there's no fire in this building. What caused that beam to crinkle up like that? Looks like a piece of plastic, you know, somebody sticks in the fire or pours gasoline on it. It shouldn't crinkle up that way. There's more pictures that we can skip over. Well, figure 167 might be worth noting. Look at the right-hand side of the picture, which is the north wall of WFC2.
Okay.
Looks like a fish tank. Like it's out of phase.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty weird looking.
Is that at that moment, or was that like that afterwards for hours?
The picture was taken sometime late in the afternoon, before Building 7, just before Building 7 went poof.
That does look weird.
And as we go down further, there's figure 170. I saw that, and I decided I wanted some better pictures of that dust cloud going in the upper atmosphere, so I went looking for weather satellite pictures. And lo and behold, I find this hurricane right outside New York City on the morning of 9/11. And it wasn't on the morning news, which is interesting, because for 4 days it was aimed straight to New York. Yeah, yes, there was a cold front that was coming from, you know, the mainland out, but how can they be so sure that it's not going to stall out, that the hurricane is going to stall out there more than X number of hours or minutes where you'd worry about a storm surge? Because Manhattan's, what, 20 feet above sea level?
Right. It is pretty close. I mean, I'll just take your word on the date, you know.
And JFK is even lower than that. And it's that morning. Now, figure 174 shows that the wind speed, the pressure, and the location of the hurricane. The closest to New York City in that time zone, and for that 24-hour period of time, and everything just held a constant there.
Yeah.
As though it was to make something, uniform about the environment. We don't need to speculate further than that.
And a flat line is kind of rare in nature.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
And I tried to compare it with other hurricanes, and I couldn't find another one that had that kind of path, but it goes straight towards New York and then, you know, puts it reverse and heads out of town.
Well, we've had people like James McKinney on the show here who was convinced and even claims to have been taken part of experiments with controlling the weather, and it's no doubt in his mind that they can move these around.
If you look at figure 171, you'll notice that you got a weird eye in there. It's a pentagon shape, and it looks like it's filled with worms or a maze of hedge.
Yeah, it does look pretty bizarre.
Okay, let's get to the magnetometer section. I got to thinking about how hurricanes look like big Tesla coils. And they create field effects. After all, people with arthritis can feel a storm coming.
Right.
They're sensing something. And it's the surrounding area outside of a hurricane where you get these field effects where you don't have rain. And there's, if you look at figure 189, yeah, it's at the various airports around Manhattan, it reported.
I'm sorry, what number? 189, you say?
Yeah, figure 189.
Okay, there we go.
There's thunder and rain reported at the airports all around Manhattan.
Wasn't it relatively clear around there? Around, around the Trade Center?
Yes, yeah, clear, but you have dry thunder.
Oh, I see.
So in the field effects, look at figure 178. The tornado where you have this high up cloud and you have the ground and it looks like you have a potential between the two.
Right.
For that lightning to arc across. So that there's some difference in the potential between those two places, and yeah, you're getting something happening with the field effects.
Right.
Figure 182 is an interesting video showing a tornado go from the ground up. I think tornadoes, it's the same thing. It's a potential between above, you know, the cloud and the ground. Now, there's something even more intriguing. Figure 183 and 184. This is the magnetometer readings for in Alaska on the morning of 9/11. We have you know, various vertical lines mark the different events. The vertical events, the vertical lines are drawn based on the official time that the North Tower got its hole, and the South Tower got its hole, and the two buildings went away, or the three buildings went away. The first blue line, if you notice the, it's been kind of constant for about 4 days there, and then the various readings take a nosedive.
And they go kind of wild, and then they return
back. And
then
as soon as they hit the bottom of that, they head back up. That has happened to me when the North Tower got its hole. And then the red line right after that was when the South Tower got its hole, when they quit going up and go horizontal again.
Yeah.
I think you know, you can definitely see when Tower 1 goes poof, it'll take a nosedive.
Well, I would say that probably thermite wouldn't cause that.
I don't think so. and then they're haywire all afternoon. And look, at they kind of steady out right when Building 7 goes poof.
Yeah.
What I thought was interesting is the North Tower got a hole in it from north to south. The South Tower got a hole in it from south to north. The two towers went top to bottom. Building 7 went bottom to top.
Yeah.
Almost like something trying to balance something out. Just interesting patterns, but this a distinct pattern. As for the regular weather, it's 185, figure 185. You see how the humidity took this linear drop that morning.
Yeah.
From like 7 a.m. until noon. It just the straight linear decline, that pink line.
Yeah. That's quite weird.
And again, the figure 186, you can see, you know, the different events going on in there, but how it kind of tried to normalize, but didn't quite normalize after Building 7 went poof.
That's pretty wild. Also, for the record, I have several streams going. I have quite a bit of a, almost 2 megs of upload bandwidth to the server, and everything just went haywire. I take it you don't have too many friends.
Correct.
Right,
I'm hitting dead over the target here, I think.
Yeah, well, it's just kind of funny how it happened now. I mean, this is a pretty good system that I work through, and that's pretty weird.
Anyway, that's the major issues. There's silly string of donuts that need to get developed further, but you see these little these strange paths. It's not a projectile because that makes a smooth path. So this makes more of a path of electrical and magnetic fields. So what questions are left?
Well, I'm trying to look. While I'm looking, do you have some type of how this was delivered? Where did it come from? You know, I mean, I'm familiar with the John Hutchinson stuff, so let's just assume they have a Hutchinson type deal. How did they do it?
Well, the hurricane is mighty peculiar there. We do know that it creates field effects. And it's my thinking that there's another field of some other type of energy that gets inserted into this. It's an interference of those various fields. Or something that happens within this controlled environment. There's testimony of people being lifted up. Other like weird pieces of events going along. But as far as I can tell, remember I didn't know anything about directed energy weapons before I began looking at the evidence. But the evidence told me they exist. What I mean by directed energy weapons is energy that's directed and used as a weapon. And those circular holes that are punched through Building 6 and in the street and so forth, it's right. Pretty well directed. And it's not a kinetic energy device. We didn't see a big hole punch, make that,
right.
Mechanically make that.
So they'd have to have a big power source?
Not necessarily. John Hutchison doesn't use much power at all. It's how you use the energy.
Well, also he moved these bars and everything, which is pretty impressive. But it may be a difference between that and a huge building. In talking with him, there was also problems with his building foundation cracking and all that kind of stuff. Elevator, all the steel in the elevator went off track, so the elevator wouldn't work. And that was outside where he was aiming. That happened outside where he was aiming.
That picture I had with the car that's parked upside down in front of the SUV?
Yeah.
That was the first picture I sent to John Hutchison when I contacted him. I said, "Does your neighborhood ever get to looking like this?" Kind of half as a joke.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking like the powder and all that doesn't get me as much as the effects on the metal, the car, the burning cars. That is pretty odd with the weather, too. That's another anomaly that the weather just changes.
Luminescence and melting without heating. That's one of the characteristics of the Hutchison effect.
Yeah.
And I think there is this weird thing with the luminescence at room temperature, because if you look at it, you see that, I call it the Cheeto picture, it looks like a Cheeto on the ground, that digger's picking up that glowing thing. If you don't, immediately assume that it's hot because it's orange and start looking a little bit deeper. Like I said, at first I thought it was a bogus picture because the hydraulics are working. But then I realized when I got on the Hutchison effect that there is an explanation, there's an example, there's evidence of this having been demonstrated before.
Yeah. Well, this is pretty funny because I think I'm getting the Hutchison effect on our stream to the broadcast server. I've never had this happen before, I can say. Only on 7 years, so I guess.
Did you hack into it?
No, it appears that the line coming from where I'm at to the servers is running out of bandwidth, which it's like 2 megs up, meg and a half,
okay.
I guess. So I that's not even close to what I'm using. So I will say that the people who are popping in and out. I mean, obviously the archive will be on the site. To get the missing points here at the end. It is funny, we get to the end, we're talking about the actual mechanism is what, when things mess up. So that's, I would put that in the impressive category, the fact that this is screwing up. So you got me thinking there. But it's like, okay, let's say that they did have this Hutchison thing, they did it. It's covered
or something
up.
Like it's. I believe it's the same physics involved.
Right.
Not be the exact same
okay.
thing, but same physics.
Because I know I talked a lot with Ariel Louise, who used to handle Hutchison's his work and so on. She told me many, many hours of talking with her about his work. I talked with him a lot. The Army, Navy, everybody else was up there with cameras every angle you could think of. They had him doing it over and over and over again. And the
in 83, for 4 months, he had various people from the Pentagon.
Yeah, so they're very aware of what he was doing. They probably may even know what he did better than he, because when talking with him, I got the impression that tinkering, knowledge, and luck kind of had it happen, as opposed to like a good battle plan. And they may have taken his work and found it and did it. But now my question is, okay, so let's just say they have this. That doesn't make me feel any more secure, like we actually have any say-so or power in this country when they can make buildings disappear.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I'm doing this. And I think we need to know. And this energy also has the ability, this technology has the ability to provide us with free energy.
Well, right, provided, but the people who are doing this with the free energy aren't about to give it to us, and the only way we'll see it, I guess, is if we're at the other end of the beam, and if we get too far out of line.
they can do that.
I would imagine if they can knock the building down and do a pretty good job of it, I think they could do a lot of stuff.
So do we want to live in fear, or...
Well, no, I'm not. I mean, look at. I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm not in fear of it, but it seems to be like there has to be some offsetting force here that could allow us, assuming we wake up to say something to them or to stop them. And it doesn't seem that unless there's a lot of people inside who come out, if you will, you know, it just seems like it's a kind of messed up. Like, I don't want to say hopeless, because, you know, there's always hope, but it seems like it would take a miracle, or it would take, like, the spontaneous awakening of people all throughout the government in deep inside to wake up and come out of it, because you're going to need people to run this thing. You can't do it all by yourself.
Right. I think that there are people out there quietly rooting for me. And if we have enough of them, you know, then if people just are awake enough.
All right. Well, how about, we got a couple minutes left here. What about suggestions?
Well, one of the reasons why I have this legal case that I have is that's still ongoing is to bring that to light. You know, trying all of the legal ways we have of dealing with this. And let's hope that the case gets heard.
Well, I hope so. But
other suggestions?
But what if? I mean, let's face it. If the 9/11 movement isn't that popular, isn't that well known yet? You within the 9/11 movement is even less. What makes you say you don't just trip and fall and break your neck tomorrow? I mean, how do you know you're not just going to wake up dead, so to speak?
My information's out there. It wouldn't do a whole lot. The information is there.
You would have to have other people carrying the torch,
right?
And continuing. I know it. I know it is safest in public. So you're it's good to do this in public. That's the safest place to be.
Thanks. That's why I've all these half finished web pages. I don't want to keep it hidden.
Right, and I can also see what happens when you do go public.
oh, yeah.
It's pretty interesting. I've never had this issue happen. So.
It's interesting how, this pernicious debunking. Like, why am I so important to them if it's bogus?
Well, yeah. Well, one of the problems, what I think of the powers that be, will just sit back and wait for the 9/11 truth movement to disintegrate on itself, because a lot of people are attracted to it perhaps for the wrong reasons. They're not attracted to it for truth, to find out. There are people out there who will believe and go after all kinds of dark conspiracy-type theories because of the fact that they're an alternative thing. They don't pick them out because they're the best choice or because it points out anomalies. It's like it's always going to be the dark, men in black somewhere, regardless. I mean, if they can't start their car in the morning, it's going to be called, obviously, the men in black got it. You know, so a lot of those people are in that movement, which doesn't do it any good. There's people with egos using it to prop up their own agendas. And a lot of that people are attracted to it. So, it is in trouble, though there's a lot of normal people, too.
I don't consider myself part of the official truth movement, or, as I put it, the movement towards the official truth.
Well, I from what I have seen in researching on you, getting ready for the show, there's not a lot of people who would agree with you. that you are not in the official deal.
Right.
The reason why I'm having you on is because I want to know everything. I want to know all sides, all deals. So put it out there so
people can
hear.
Admire you for that.
I'll bring up my questioning, like, you know, well, you could say this, that, whatever. But it's not trying to debunk or trying to argue. It's just having a healthy discussion. And I don't know why. What can't people have a healthy discussion without name calling and all that other stuff?
I don't either. It should be about the evidence and sort of about the.
Well,
the
people can find out. There's much more on the website. We did a quick run through. It is drjudywood.com. And I appreciate being here. And perhaps you can contact me with any more new information, and we can check back from time to time and see what's happening.
Great. And I so much appreciate your having me on, and quite heroic to do so.
Well, I'll see if my computer stuff is fried tomorrow.
Okay.
if I got any of those beams coming, if my computer stuff's all twisted in little pretzel shapes, I'll give you a call.
Okay.
All righty, we'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, we will see you next week, live, Feet to the Fire. Keep on keeping on. Reach for the skies within.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.